This is the intersection of assistive, educational, and information technology. Whether it's technology for inclusive classroom learning or tools for community success, technology can promote independence, and inclusive technology has become more available for everyone. Welcome to the Inclusive Technology for All podcast with your host, Mike Murata.
Hey there, welcome to episode 53. This episode is scheduled to be released on September 23rd, 2019. So it's the start of a hectic week here, an exciting week, but a hectic week with the New Jersey AT Summit happening this week. I'm really excited about the day. We have 20 concurrent sessions, a keynote, and sessions by my friend Chris Bouguet. 200 plus people are registered, and it's great. We've reached the capacity of the training center. And we have 50 people on the waiting list. So I guess we've tapped into something here in New Jersey. Getting ready for next year, starting to think about it already. I think we'll come back bigger, better, maybe a larger space, maybe 2 days, maybe more sessions, maybe some longer sessions. I don't know. We'll have to see as the day goes on this week what we can change for next year. But even if you're not joining us, follow all the fun on Twitter. We have a conference hashtag, which is AT, the number 4NJ. And also check out the conference website at bit.ly/2019NJATS. We have the session schedule posted up there with a shared Google Doc for every session. So the speakers will share their resources, and hopefully participants will crowdsource some session notes. We have some good stuff to talk about in this episode. But what do you want to talk about? I want to hear from you. So leave your messages and your comments and ideas about topics for upcoming episodes. Visit speakpipe.com/ITS podcast and leave your audio message. Also, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. All right, let's jump into it. So iOS 13 was finally released this week. Did you update? I know I did. As soon as it came out, I figured, let's try it out. I wanted to get my hands on it, check out all those new features, and I'll share today some of my first impressions. In future episodes, I'll post some updates as I dig a little deeper. What was your first impression? Did you find the new feature that you feel will be really powerful as an inclusive feature? Tell me about it. If you leave a message at speakpipe.com/ITS podcast, leave your name, where you're from, and talk about the feature that you found. I'll play the message during an upcoming episode. The first thing I noticed was the accessibility features have made it to the main settings menu. They're no longer embedded under general. Accessibility is right there on the front page in the settings. Just this visibility alone may lead to more people clicking on it and checking out the features. So I call that a win. Once inside the accessibility settings, the groupings have changed slightly with features kind of moving around in headings, changing names. The new section headings are vision, physical and motor, which used to be called interaction, hearing, and general. The headings media and learning are now gone, and those features have been absorbed into those other sections. I want to take a second, jump on my accessibility feature soapbox. I get it why Apple and other companies would want to group their features together, but I wish there was some kind of disclaimer or something that said, even though this feature is listed under vision, consider how this feature could help someone without a visual impairment. I just know that I work with many people without vision impairments that use VoiceOver or the speech features because they need audio support for the text on the screen. So before I jump back off the soapbox, I'll ask you, make sure that you encourage people to look broadly at these accessibility features. Okay, let's dive into a couple of the new iOS 13 features. The speech features are now called spoken content and still live under the vision heading. So I won't pull out my soapbox again, but anyway, we still have speak selection and speak screen, but we now have something called speech controller. Turn this on and a small arrow appears on the screen. If you've used Speak Screen in the past, this is the same arrow you see when the toolbar collapses. But when you expand this toolbar, you see some of the familiar buttons like play, move forward, move back, and the speed control. We also get a button with a finger on it. This is the Speak on Touch feature. Click the finger button, then tap or drag on the screen to hear that text spoken aloud. You can customize the reading feature by selecting what happens with a long press or a double tap. Choices are speak on touch, read all content, or none. Try this feature out. I've been using it since I downloaded iOS 13, and I really like this as an option for text-to-speech. One of the biggest features we've seen added to the accessibility settings in a while is the addition of voice control. Turn it on, and now you can control your iPhone with your voice. Want to navigate around the device? No problem. Use voice commands like Open Control Center or Open App Switcher or Open Notification Center. If you want to open an app, sure, you can do that too. Just say open and then the name of the app. Have you ever used Dragon Naturally Speaking? Remember the screen grid? Well, that lives on your iPhone now with iOS 13. Say show grid and an overlay grid drops over the screen with numbers in each square. Say the number and the grid will be highlighted with 9 smaller squares with numbers. Keep saying numbers until you get a small grid directly on top of the item. Say choose number and it will select the item under that square. It's really cool. So turn this feature on and give it a spin. Don't worry too much about knowing all the commands. Just try it out. If your command isn't correct, your phone will offer up a suggestion. The markup tools have expanded with this new iOS update too. We still have the ability to draw on a picture, but now there is a ruler to help draw straight lines. If you hit the plus sign, it opens up a brand new toolbar with a bunch of added features. There's a spot magnifier to enlarge sections of a picture. If you want to add a shape to a picture, you can do that. There are some shape options, including a speech bubble and an arrow. You can also now add your electronic signature to any picture. And probably the biggest addition for accessibility is the ability to add text to a picture. So if you're working with someone who needs to take a picture of a paper document and then type on it, now you can do that right from the photos when you use your markup features. So you have no need for another app. You can do it right in there. It still won't read that text, but at least it will let you mark up the picture and add text to it. As I continue to explore iOS 13, I'll post some thoughts in upcoming episodes. I'll also include a link in the show notes for this episode to an article from Apple that describes the full list of new features in iOS 13. And don't forget, I'd like to hear from you. What do you think about this iOS update? Leave a voice message at speakpipe.com/ITS podcast. Leave your name, where you're from, and your feature, and I'll play it during some upcoming episodes. Next episode, I'll give you my first impressions of iPad OS, which is scheduled to be released on September 24th, 2019. Are you in the New England area? Well, then make sure you plan to join us for the Technology for Specific Learning Disabilities Conference on October 16, 2019. This full-day conference will be held in Wakefield, Mass., and I am proud to be one of the organizers along with Karen Janowski. We've assembled an impressive list of speakers that will be sharing insights about the power of technology to support students in the K-12 learning environment. Concurrent session topics include using Google Keep to promote student organization, apps and extensions for student literacy, the power of multimedia for learning, how to support students with executive function, and what the research says about which technologies support learners with high incidence disabilities. This is sure to be a powerful day of learning and sharing. Hope you'll be able to join us. To learn more about the conference, check out the website, where you can also register. The website is bit.ly/TSLDconference. Want to find other people interested in inclusive and assistive technology? Well, then join us every Wednesday night on Twitter at 8 p.m. Eastern for AT Chat. Each week, Karen Janowski and I lead a hour-long discussion about tools and strategies for inclusion and accessibility for individuals with disabilities. This week, we had a guest moderator on AT Chat. It was friend of the podcast, Cassie Frost. And in keeping with life, taking your plans and kind of throwing a monkey wrench in them, Cassie did the first part of the chat from urgent care because her daughter, Caitlin, cut her hand while cutting an apple. She is fine. And we're even considering a GoFundMe to help get her a safe apple cutter. But on to the chat. The topic was AT supports for behavior and emotions. The questions focus on the types of tech supports we could provide to students who struggle with behavior and managing emotions. Some of the chatter shared some favorite tools for supports, including the Calm app, which is free for educators. And we also discussed managing tasks and time management. I shared a story about a student I work with who needed a cue 5 minutes before class ended in order to prepare. If the bell rang without being prepared, he would have an emotional outburst, and it would take staff several minutes to calm him down. The school had provided an aide, and her only job was to prompt him 5 minutes before the end of every class. The parents were considering an Apple Watch, but spending hundreds of dollars for this kind of solution didn't seem like the best choice, so the team did some research, and we found something called the Ditto Wearable. It's a small clip-on device, about the size of a quarter, that runs on a watch battery. We loaded the app onto his iPad, programmed items into his calendar 5 minutes before the end of every class, and then when the notification popped up on his iPad, the Ditto app sent a signal to the device, which he had clipped on his shirt, and it vibrated. As soon as he felt that vibration, he knew class was almost over, and he started preparing to leave. This was a powerful, simple solution for him that increased independence for the student and only cost about $40. Check it out at dittowearable.com. Tons of other resources were shared during the chat, and I'll post a link to the Wakelet archive in the show notes.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoy the podcast, please subscribe and leave a review. Do you have an idea for a future episode? Leave an audio message via SpeakPipe at speakpipe.com/ITS podcast with your suggestion. It may appear on an upcoming episode. To stay current on all things inclusive and assistive technology, follow Mike on Twitter at MMATP and visit his website at MMATP.com. For inclusive technology resources and all the previous podcast episodes.